and Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to episode 34 of the Shine Sparkers podcast. My name's Amanda. I'm joined by friends Roy and Irene. This is our first episode of 2026, and it will be a spoiler cast for Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. So we finished the game, so we're going to be talking about the whole thing. So if you haven't finished it, first of all, why haven't you finished it? The game's like really short, and it's been out for like a month, so you have like plenty of time to go play it before you listen to this. Otherwise, you've been warned. There's going to be spoilers. So, we're going to start off by talking about our thoughts on Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. So one of the big things that a lot of people are talking about, myself included, are the new characters added to Metroid Prime 4, as well as some of the returning people like, you know, Silux and Samus and other important people like that. So I'm going to open up the floor to you guys. What do you guys think about the new characters as well as returning and all that?
Well, what to say about Metroid Prime 4? I've only been waiting 8 years for it. 18 if you count the years since Metroid Prime 3. I do believe it was worth the wait. I pretty much started playing it as soon as I woke up on December 4th. It took me about 2 days to finish it because I was kind of not rushing through it, but also spending most of my time with it. Like, I would do my work for the day, take care of cooking food and whatever, and then get back to it. I think everyone was hoping that maybe it would be the genre-defining masterpiece like Breath of the Wild was for Zelda. I understand if people were disappointed that it wasn't, but Metroid Prime 4, in my opinion, is still a very solid title, a worthwhile return for something that we haven't played properly in 18 years, not counting Federation Force.
Why not?
Well, it's a spinoff.
It's a cool game if you have friends.
It is much more playable with friends, yes.
Yeah.
In terms of the characters, you know, I like them. I was quite disappointed because when that first preview dropped and journalists were criticizing Mackenzie, you would have thought the Russians had landed at our front door the way that they were talking about Mackenzie. Like, this is the worst thing to happen to Metroid since Other M. He's cringe. He's terrible. MCU humor. Relax. He's with you for 10 minutes. Then he pulls up in base camp. You go back to him for upgrades and lore conversations if you want to. He's not that bad. And actually, he has some pretty good development over the course of the game. Because yes, when you find him, he's very timid, very squeamish, very scared easily. He goes from that to, at the end, taking a bullet for Samus.
I will say, I was one of them, one of those that were like massive haters of Miles at first. I know. But it was really, really fun getting to know him throughout the game, and he's a really important character, in my opinion, considering what he does in the story. He's not just a background character. He's fixing Betsy, for example. He's allowing Samus to receive her upgrades sometimes with the chips. So within the game itself, he's also a pretty important character, and also kind of funny.
Well, I am shamelessly in love with Miles Mackenzie. Like, the guy is my type, confident nerd who can actually do things. Like, dude's perfect. I freaking love Miles Mackenzie. I think his humor is great. I love going back to visit him. I'm going to make people mad by saying that, yes, I ship him with Samus, and I'm okay with that. I don't care who's mad at me for it.
Hey, you know, she doesn't have many people that you can ship her with, so.
Exactly. And I'm still thoroughly convinced that at the end, what really happens, and you know, this is totally the secret ending that you get by you scanning the Miles Mackenzie amiibo that was sent to me because I am, you know, by my uncle who works at Nintendo, totally sent this to me. So at the very end, after Samus plants the tree, there's Miles, but he's not wearing his like goofy outfit. He's like wearing like normal looking clothes. And then he and Samus, they go off into the sunset. And he's like, Samus, you don't have to do this alone anymore. And Samus is no longer alone because that's the great thing about Metroid Prime 4. She finally has friends.
Yes, this is the real ending. I was very sad when the troopers were left behind because, call me naive, call me, dare I say, young and naive, I really thought they might actually make it. How many friends of Samus has she lost?
Exactly.
And these troopers, for whatever faults they might have in other people's opinion, they were fleshed out characters. You know, you got to know a bit about their background. You got to see their personality, how they gelled with each other, the different ways that they would speak with Sam, or well, I guess speak at Samus, because she doesn't talk back to them.
Yeah.
Which I do agree with that criticism. She should at least talk to them a little bit.
Yeah.
Even just like a simple, like, thank you or something like that would be great.
She never thanked Miles. That's messed up.
I know.
It's because they all really survived. They got off on a getaway ship at the very end. That is what I'm just going to have to convince myself of.
God, I hope so. Otherwise, maybe they scrounged up parts to build their own ship, but that's assuming they survived the explosion and or Psylux.
Okay, they could maybe even kill Psylux. And Miles is like, oh shit, there's a new teleporter ship. I'll get us out of here.
Yeah, they totally killed Psylux. Like, Samus weakened him, and they could have, I mean, Robot Boy could have just stepped on Psylux and everything would have been over.
In before Metroid Prime 5, the whole game is her trying to get back to Vuros. She gets there and she finds Psylux dead. All the troopers are there. Hey, what took you so long? Takes them home. Credits.
Perfect.
Perfect.
And that's the intro to our Metroid Prime farming game where we grow Metroids and make Metroid jelly.
Aside from Mackenzie, what are your favorite characters for both of you?
I loved Ezra Duke, specifically just because of the way he said casserole. Just the way he said, I almost got turned into a casserole. And I loved it so much. And I just kept going, casserole. But I really, really I liked View, Robot Boy.
Robot Boy.
Yeah. But I really liked all of them.
I did too.
Yeah.
Duke makes a couple of food references, actually, which Darren discovered another one of them, and then I found another one of them, and so we had a bit of fun with that. At one point, he says, piece of cake, red velvet cake, which of course made me
want some. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that part.
And then in one of the conversations, if you go back to base camp, he mentions Norion Curry because he was previously stationed there. So I thought that was cool. That was a little bit of consistency in the lore. And on Tanimar, there's a machine that you can scan which references Talvania, one of the planets in Federation Force.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed going back to base camp and just, like, hearing the different conversations that they were having. I don't know, it just made everything just feel so much more organic and human.
Exactly. It humanized the whole thing. You had something to protect, and it wasn't a Ashley Graham situation where you have to protect an NPC that is absolutely hopeless, can't defend themselves. They can defend themselves, and yeah, if you have to revive them, it can get a little annoying, but ultimately it's not difficult to do.
I haven't finished hard mode yet, but I think there might be a bigger issue with that character reviving thing against Psylux specifically.
Oh, yes.
I know that the lightning attack kind of kills them easily. If three or more are down, I think you're just basically lost. I have seen speedrun strats against Psylux, and I feel kind of dumb for not using the power bomb against the dragon heads, but apparently that's pretty effective.
Like a psychic power bomb?
Yeah.
I have seen a video where that was used in against Psylux, but I didn't think to use it against the dragon heads.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Armstrong.
Yeah, she was really cool.
Maybe if she had been the first NPC you meet and not Mackenzie, there wouldn't have been so much controversy, but Armstrong's just adorable. I loved her, and I loved how she ran up and hugged Samus, and Samus was kind of...
That was so sweet.
Yeah, just like patted her on the back. Definitely a more fleshed out, well, in fairness, the other character, by the time you see her, she's dead, Angseth, one of the soldiers in Metroid Prime 2, you find her corpse, and her lore entry shows that she was a fan of Samus. Yeah. So just imagine if Armstrong and Angseth had ever met, the sort of fangirling they would have got up to.
Samus fan club. They would have like little Samus cheerleader outfits. It'd be so cute.
Yeah. A while ago, I saw some fan art on Twitter, which Jennifer Sun Bell, Armstrong's voice actress, reacted positively to. It was Armstrong in a, I forget the name of it. It's a Korean dress with like a
special knot.
Yeah. I think I sent that one to you. Samus is wearing it and she shows her how to tie the knot. Jennifer really liked that.
Cute.
And I liked it too. And she has noticed us on Twitter. So hello, if you're listening.
Oh, I see the artist now. Their Twitter is Kajira Creations.
Shout out to you. I'll link to that drawing in the episode description.
I think one of my favorites is actually Corporal Rieger Tokabe.
He was so cool.
There's something about...
Me too.
He's really cool. That's the thing. He's just chill.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. He's like, he's just such a chill guy. Like, I like listening to his little stories when you go visit him at the campfires.
I had a completely different image of him pre-release, because in the overview trailer, he's like, the only thing I care about is my family and my family alone. So I thought he was not being cooperative and that they didn't care. But he's just pretty chill.
He is very chill, and I would love to sit and listen to him talk for several hours.
Yeah.
Something I don't know that it, I don't know if it's really been picked up on by a lot of people is that I believe he is indigenous coded. His actor Kalani Kwepo is, I forget what exactly his heritage, but he is of indigenous descent. So you see that a bit with his talisman that he gives to Samus at the end, and the way he talks about his family and Solon and his history. Yeah, I really liked Tokabe as well.
Honestly, I didn't dislike any of the characters. I loved that she had friends because, okay, the argument a lot of people have, and I understand, is that Metroid is all about being alone and isolated on an alien planet. You're trying to get out of there. But that is not sustainable. No one can be alone for that long. And even then, like, she's mostly alone on most of the planets or locations or, I for lack of a better word, dungeons that she went to. I mean, she had, like, some friends at certain times, but for the most part, you are by yourself.
Yeah, I understand that criticism, but the troopers aren't with you the whole time.
Exactly.
By the way, Kalani Kwepo is apparently of Blackfoot, Hawaiian, and Swedish descent.
Swedish descent?
Yeah.
Really like the voice acting for Tokabe's.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by all the voice acting.
Yeah.
I really wish Samus had more, had something to say. I mean, I will say her screams and all of that were very, like, okay, yeah, I believe that. Every time that she would, like, give her distress screams and all that, those were very believable. And I just wish she had more opportunities to say things.
Yeah.
I feel like Other M may have poisoned the well on her speaking. She did, of course, have that glorious line in Dread, but it was in Chozo. It's glorious, but it's also the only time since Other M that she's ever vocally spoken. She does talk in Federation Force, but it's only text. So her new voice actress, I could tell it was someone new, and I was really hoping that they wouldn't not credit her, because Jennifer Hale and Vanessa Marshall were never credited for their screams. But then Nintendo Life, a few days before release, did an article on the credits, and I was trying to avoid spoilers, but I had to have a peek, and her new voice actress is Erin Yvette, and I know her because she played Snow White in The Wolf Among Us, and she's been in a couple of other things. So I thought, wow, that's really cool, and I know for a fact that she can give an incredible dramatic performance, so... Yeah, I would have liked to hear her speak as Samus. I hope that if Retro does make Metroid Prime 5, maybe they'll have her speak a little bit more.
Maybe.
There doesn't have to be extensive dialogue. Just have her occasionally talk to troopers whenever they talk to her. Because, like with Dread, you had no idea until release that Samus would say something. Do that again with Prime 5, where Samus is silent for most of it, and then she hears something pivotal and then says, yes, all right. Or, I don't know, whatever she says in response.
What if she just says something funny, like, oh, this robot is ugly as hell, and then she never speaks again?
Or Psylux tries to hit her again, she finally kills him and goes, amateur, and then walks off.
I mean, I was going to say, just get her just to look at him, just be like, dumbass.
Could we talk about the ending, by the way? I'm curious.
We kind of touched on it.
We touched on it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know the real ending, but like without the Miles amiibo?
Without the Miles amiibo. Okay. Could talk a little bit more about that. I thought it was a really fun battle, personally.
I enjoyed it, too. I cheered when the Lockjaw came back.
That was pretty cool. And then it's a scam, too, so... You could be too fast for Psylux to enter Lockjaw form, so you have to intentionally play kind of slow if you want all scans.
I just remember he took some of my energy tanks, and I was...
Oh, he made me so mad!
I was frantically trying to get them back and, like, missing him, and then accidentally boosting away from the tanks, and like, no, I'm not losing... Give that back! You give that right now.
I was doing pretty much the same thing. I'm just like, I did not say you could take those. Those are mine. Give them back.
Yeah. Yeah. I reacted the same way that I would when my toys were taken away as a child. No, that's my energy tag.
Mine.
I have read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true, if he does successfully take your energy tanks, it affects your item percentage. I don't know if that's
really?
Accurate.
Really?
Oh, that's so cool.
I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true. But if it is, be warned.
It is true now.
It's true because we said it's true.
Yeah. I think it's actually kind of a shame that they show Samus losing her psychic crystal at the end. Because what if Prime 5 also had psychic abilities? Like, I kind of like the concept. Not at first, but... I think the concept of psychic abilities is interesting, and there's still lots of room to explore.
They could totally expand on it. As for her losing them, how many times has she lost her Morph Ball bombs, including in Beyond?
True.
So, my thinking, if they are going to continue with this story arc, Chatoyant Valoon, the Lamorin that talks to Samus... Mm-hmm. He mentioned that 12 Lamorin went looking for her. What if Samus then goes looking for them to tell them that she found a way off of Vuros and can you help me get back there so I can rescue my allies? Chances are they would have taken psychic tech with them and so she could use it again. And Retro could then expand on the abilities, give you more of them. I would like to talk about Psylux for a second.
Sure.
I did see a lot of chatter online, people either disappointed with how his story turned out to be or feeling like it was abrupt. I think there's more, because we see a battle where he encountered Samus and rejected her, and they weren't like understanding what was that scene. Clearly, he wanted that pirate weapon for himself, and Samus destroyed it, and all of his men were killed, and the weapon being destroyed meant that all of his men died for nothing. It's his fault, but in an evil sort of manipulative way, he blames her for that, and by extension, the Federation. So it's an example of a villain with an actual motive, however unjustified, whereas Ridley and Dark Samus, iconic as they are, all they want to cause is chaos. This is the first villain that actually has a motive. Well, MB had a motive too, but well, that's Other M, and not everyone's a fan.
I guess Ravenbeak.
Oh, and Ravenbeak kind
of has a motive.
Well, Ravenbeak also just wanted conquest and domination. It's kind of unclear if Psylux wants anything except revenge on Samus. But I definitely think there's more to his story because, you know, we don't know who he is exactly? Like, what was his name? How did he become a trooper? How did he end up in that stasis tank where he's going in the blue armor? You know, there are gaps that you could cover, like Hunters from his perspective, the endings of Corruption and Federation Force from his perspective.
I think there's like one little detail that we learn about Silex, and that's that he's actually a human. The species wasn't known before this.
It was suspected, but never confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Also, with the way the story was going, there's like a lot of opportunities for the space pirates to be a threat, and Silex could actually return once more.
Yeah. Side note, where were the space pirates after Tanimar?
I don't think there's any hint towards space pirates in Vuros.
No, there wasn't. It seemed to be random who was sent to Vuros by the artifact's destruction. Because it caught a few of the troopers, it caught Betsy, some technology, and Silux. But could it be that more stuff was sent to Vuros that they don't know about? Like, are there more troopers that Samus never found? Is there tech that Silux could exploit? Because we know he loves to steal and modify his tech with what he takes from the Federation.
Do you think the Lomorne artifact at the beginning could selectively, or could choose, who's getting teleported across space and dimensions to Vuros?
It's possible, but because it was shot, I feel like it went unstable, and it wasn't exactly clear who it chose, who or what it chose.
I do think it's interesting that Samus gets teleported perfectly to Chrono Tower.
She is the chosen one.
Yeah. So I do think there's like some kind of choice that an artifact may be made.
I don't know if it's so much that, or if it was like this was what was chosen was going to happen, and this was like prophesied forever ago.
Yeah, that could also be the case.
So it was just like, she's there. Okay, this is going to happen.
What's interesting, though,
yeah,
the Talon IV Chozo had a prophecy that Samus would come and purge the planet, and they were very clear that it was her. Like, they saw it was her. And they had psionic or psychic abilities as well. So that's probably why Samus inherently has them, because of her Chozo DNA. The Lomorne are much less particular. They just mention a chosen one, but they don't necessarily make it clear that that's Samus.
Mm-hmm.
So probably anyone could have picked up on those frequencies and thought that it was talking to them. Maybe Silux could have thought that it was him. He seemed to be, at the end, trying to acquire psychic powers of him of his own.
Mm-hmm. In one of the scans in Icebolt, they say something about Chotoya predicting that the Chosen One will go to this room, and that there should be a gift to them, which would be the grapple lasso or the psychic lasso. Since the psychic abilities fit Samus pretty well, I think it's pretty possible that they had some sort of idea about who would be the chosen one.
Yeah, I'm basing it mainly off of the logs, because it doesn't mention Samus by name. But then, if they had psychic abilities, they could have probably seen it was her, or had, I guess, some idea. Like, maybe they didn't see her clearly, but they could see the outline of her or something. It's very interesting.
Do you guys think that Silux even left Chrono Tower, or do you think he was in this healing pod the entire game?
I mean, he definitely left.
We do see Silux in Flare Pod, not Flare Pool.
Yeah, we see him twice. He turns off the bridge across the lava, so Samus has to go and get the hoverboard upgrade for Viola, and then he pilots the hover shuttle transport later on, which I actually thought that might be his ship from the ending of Corruption. But the scan mentions that it's Lamorne tech, so probably.
Yeah, it's Lamorne tech. We didn't even see Delano 7.
No. He probably had it somewhere on Tanimar, or, well, let's be honest, he would have had one of the pirates take him. Such a passenger princess can't even fly his own ship. In fairness, neither did Dark Samus.
Yeah, I think Silux wouldn't jump off the flying machine thing if it was just a Cybot clone. I think the Cybot clone would just deal with it.
Yeah.
Because it's like a robot. It doesn't have to care for itself. So I'm leaning towards him being mostly in Flarepool throughout the game, but going to Chrono Tower at the end.
I think he was trying to get like some of the different technology pieces as well.
Yeah. He put the shield up around Chrono Tower, so it stands to reason that he could turn it off, turn it back on as he was leaving. Poor Betsy.
Seems like he can teleport too.
Well, he can teleport, yeah. Because he brought Samus into that wormhole, and then they ended up on that final destination stage.
Yeah. No items, one we won.
Yeah. My question is, how did Samus get back? Unless she too can teleport. Hey, maybe that's another psychic ability that she could have in Prime 5. I really enjoyed Psylocke's performance. His actor is Leif Walschlager, who I discovered afterwards is a good friend and the body double of Rob Gronkowski. He was also on Stranger Things in the final episode. He plays one of the soldiers. And I was looking at him and I thought, is that? And it was him afterwards, I found out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And on a similar note, Netflix did a video where they filmed a couple of audience reactions afterwards, and Jessica Martin was in there.
Oh, no way. That's so cool.
So what else should we talk about? Probably the gameplay, because we've spent a lot of time on the characters.
I thought overall the gameplay was fun. It wasn't all that challenging. I didn't have any problem with it, and I'm not very good at it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm a huge fan, but I'm not very good. I didn't have any problem. It was a lot of fun.
Mondo's flexing her skills.
This is me flexing my lack of skills.
Can I do another flex?
Go for it.
What is it?
I only died twice in my entire playthrough.
Okay, I died a whole lot more times than that.
Y'all died?
I came very close with a lot of the boss fights to dying. The first time I died was in the Omega Griever fight. And then the second time was during phase 3 of Psylocke.
Oh.
But I had taken quite a beating in both fights. But then I beat them on the second try.
Pretty sure I died within the first hour.
Well.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I am 100% okay with that. I had fun.
And that's great. And the worst thing you could do is die, quit, and never try again. Because as much trouble as I have with other games that I'm not as familiar with, Hollow Knight, I'm always going to come back and try again.
Okay, Hollow Knight is legitimately hard.
It is.
Do you guys think that the Prime 4 was overall an improvement gameplay-wise?
I feel like it was more intuitive than previous games, and I don't know if that's the fact or just the fact that like I've played enough by now that like it wasn't new, so I knew what to do. So I feel like that would be a question for somebody that doesn't have a lot of Metroid experience.
So I think that what it did most was improve on what had already come before. One of the criticisms of Prime 4 is that it's not very innovative and it plays it very safe. It does, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Really safe.
It's not a bad thing.
After so long, and with it having restarted development and then taken 6 years, they wanted to play it safe. They didn't want to do something too high risk.
I guess it did take some kinds of risks. Like, the psychic abilities felt so weird at first when they were talking about it in one of the directs.
Yeah.
I later was down to it. I would say that's a risk, even if it isn't a gameplay risk. It is a thematic risk.
Really, I think their biggest risk was just having more characters that had voice acting and all that. I think that was their big risk that they took with it.
Yeah, because they have tried that before with mixed results. But then the troopers in Other M existed just to die. They weren't fleshed out at all.
True.
I do wish there was more to do, like more things to discover in the desert. Because I did love driving through the desert and like finding new things. I just wish there was more to it.
There should have been more shrines. Like maybe you get more abilities, more puzzles for expansions, more lore, and more things to do than just hunt down energy crystals.
Actually, I think the shrines should even be bigger. I think there wasn't a lot of puzzles to them. There was like a single little bit of puzzles.
Yeah, the shrines were really easy. They were easier than a Breath of the Wild shrine, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it was really fun, like, because I didn't know they were going to be in it. And so, like, I'm exploring the desert, and then I came across, like, the first shrine. Like, oh, this is neat. I didn't know this was in it. Okay, this is cool. I want more of this. I would have liked there to be like, I mean, I don't know. I think this is just my Zelda fan background of being like, but what if there were like some villages and all of that and people I could go hang out with and talk to and meet? But that's just me and my Zelda background. But I would have liked more places to explore within the desert.
Yeah. And then maybe the troopers come out at different points, or you could talk to Takabi more often. You did get to have a few conversations with him, but like, what if he was out there more? And if Samus was talking, she could have conversations with him about her prior missions. According to the recent Famitsu interview, and I have to eat some crow here, Metroid Prime 4 is in fact set after Super Metroid, and not directly after Federation Force and before Metroid 2. A few people picked up on the setting in Cosmic Year 20X9, and based on the promotional reel for Super Metroid, which said that that took place in 20X7, so 2 years after the original Metroid, I didn't take that source very seriously because it was a promo reel from 30 plus years ago. It hadn't ever been cited since, but I guess it was accurate because the interview says that it comes after Super Metroid, and if it's 20X9, then that means it's 2 years after Super. Maybe even 2 years after Other M, because that's a little bit after Super. So I have to eat crow, because I thought that wasn't accurate, but I guess it was.
I guess we could also use Samus Returns as an example, because that game, well, it's probably not said within the game, but in one of the commercials, it claims that in less than a year after
that's right.
The first Metroid game, Zero Mission.
Yeah.
And since we know that Metroid 2 and Super are like immediately afterwards, we could then infer that Super is within 20X7 or 6.
Yeah.
So there's like at least two sources.
But then, as we know, Nintendo doesn't really do timelines. Like, I think even the Zelda timeline was sort of cobbled together and not.
The Zelda timeline was pulled out of Nintendo's asses when a bunch of Zelda fanboys were like, excuse me, I want a timeline. And they were like, oh, you want a timeline? We'll give you a timeline. Here's three.
A hero is defeated.
Which, of course, led people to make their own timeline like that for Metroid, where Other M is in one timeline. And then, I guess the correct, quote-unquote, timeline is straight to Fusion. Or something.
The hero saved the animals.
You don't save the animals, you get Other M.
Yeah.
And then they vanish in dread. I'm still salty about that.
Actually, yeah, that's pissing me off.
I wanted to see them on the ship in dread at the end.
And they're like hanging out with Quiet Robex.
Well, yeah, I would have been worried.
Treats.
They're playing card games with them.
You mean flat egg.
Instead of playing Uno, they're playing I, which is the chosen word for one.
That's pretty cute.
Ooh, I do have a question about the world building.
Yes.
What do you guys think about the differences between the machine era and the psychic era? Are there any differences at all? I didn't really understand it too well, other than the Lamorne people using mechanical things in the past.
I think that's basically what it was. They relied overly on technology, and then it was affecting their lives, the environment, so they switched to psychic stuff. Mm-hmm. But using psychic powers did not gel with the green energy, and that's why we have the Grievers. Hence, the Great Tragedy, which, even before they spelled it out in the dialogue that that's what it was, I could tell from reading the logs that's what happened. And I clocked, even before release, that the Grievers must be mutated Lamorne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell just by looking at them.
Yeah.
Also the name, like, mourning and grieving.
True. It would be nice if we had an extant alien race in Metroid Prime 5. The Luminoth were active, but there was only one that you could talk to during the game, and the rest of them don't come out until after. So unless Samus goes back to Aether for whatever reason, then there aren't really many other extant sentient alien races out there. Something that I noticed Metroid fans seem to be more hostile whenever a game has human NPCs, like Other M, Corruption, Beyond. But then for Echoes and Dread, they have alien NPCs and no humans, and those have been very well received, so.
They're really cool looking, though.
They are.
I think everyone would respect Miles McKenzie if he was a Luminoth instead.
A young Luminoth upstart in the military. Yeah?
Yeah. Part of the Federation now.
But then does the Federation military allow non-humans? Because to date, they've all been humans.
I guess so. There was, maybe it's not the canon part of the manga, but in the manga, there's like a non-human person in the Federation. And they even point out that recently, they wouldn't be allowed to be a part of the Federation. I think originally the Federation was supposed to be like a mix of different species, like intelligent species.
Hmm.
I've honestly never even thought about it, but okay, yeah.
I would support some sort of game, or if they wanted to remake the manga and localize it, actually officially localize it. I think there are some open questions still on Samus's origins and how to best bridge that with the series as it's going forward now.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they never localize the original manga?
That is an excellent question. I guess they just didn't want to pay to do it. Didn't think there would be a demand.
This is a prediction. They'll probably do it on Nintendo today.
Oh, God.
Like a random page. Yeah. Like a page for each day. I'm sorry, but it's true. They're probably going to do it.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I hate that you're right, because you're probably right.
Yep.
God.
I don't want to be right.
I mean, back in the day, I'm surprised it never got put in Nintendo Power, to be honest. Yeah. So this would be the next opportunity.
At least then we could have scans online years later. Like someone would take the spine off of their copy and scan it. And then we could have it for future generations.
Speaking of Nintendo today, actually, there was like lore about the Beyond that we didn't really hear about in the game.
The World Data Book.
And I think one tidbit is kind of neat, which is that there are vastly different biomes surrounding Sol Valley. And the reason for that is because of the instability of the magnetic field of the planet. It's probably just an explanation for explanation's sake, but I like that there's like an attempt of making an explanation for that.
Yeah. They did say in time and space, but they never really picked up on that in the lore.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah. Overall, are we happy with Prime 4?
I am. I had a lot of fun.
I did too.
I had a lot of fun, but I'll be a bit of a negative Nancy. I think the game had a lot potential to be better, but I'm not complaining.
I agree, but it was still fun.
It was still fun.
Yeah. I think there were a lot of things that it could have done better. But I mean, overall, I had a lot of fun.
I did too. It was a nice, like, little bit of extra adventuring. And I was just happy to be back behind the visor again. I think, based on the recent developer interview in Famitsu, which we've published a translation of, it seems like Nintendo was keeping the concept and plans of Prime 4 as originally developed by Bandai Namco or whatever studio it was. They still haven't said. So Retro was kind of limited with the freedom of what they could do with Prime 4, like the scale, the linear nature of it. But if they make Prime 5, they can build on what they created for Prime 4, unburdened by what has been, and they can make it nonlinear. They can have fewer NPCs, if that's what people want.
They should bring back the Luminoth.
I would support that.
Yeah.
Basically, with Prime 5, they could do it completely from scratch. They're not building off of another developer's work. Honestly, they should have let Retro develop it from the start. Then we could have got it sooner. Maybe it would have been different, but all that aside, I am happy with Prime 4. Is it perfect? No, but it's a good game.
Yeah.
I think one of my biggest complaints are the missable scans. Those drove me crazy.
Okay, so I scanned Carvex's tentacle. I scanned Carvex. I did not scan the pollen sacs that it releases. I was looking in the end game for scans, like checking to make sure that I had them all.
In Fury Green?
Yeah. Checking to make sure I had them all. I found that I missed the pollen sacs and I was pissed off about it. So I am going to do a second playthrough, probably on hard mode, and I will scan them and I will get all the other... I scanned everything else that was missable, but not the pollen sacs. But I will get them next time. So I had to tap the Psylux amiibo in order to see the cutscene, because I got all the items, but I couldn't get all the scans, so I used the amiibo. And side note, people, if you don't want to take your amiibo out of the box, you can tap it on your control stick through the box, I found. And I played it on Switch 1.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Another side note is that if you missed the Snow Wolf scan, apparently there's like a single instance where a Snow Wolf will appear in the background and you can scan it.
I did hear about that, yes.
Yes, it's true. That's how I got them.
But we will never get Carvix's pollen sac back.
No, so make sure you scan that. And its tentacles.
And its tentacles. Carvix has 3 scans, actually.
The annoying ones were the ones where, like, you scan it, and then it does something, and then you have to scan it again. Like, some of the items that had to be scanned.
Yeah. There are a couple of times where you can scan an enemy again, but usually it's just extra info, and it's not another logbook entry.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And when you're fighting Psylux, if he does, like when he does his black hole attack, you can scan him again, but that's not another logbook entry. It's just telling you.
Oh, okay.
It's telling you, and this took me a while to figure out, you have to use the psychic beam to disrupt him. That's actually why I died, because I didn't figure that out until it was too late.
All right, so mailbag time. We asked you guys, what do you think of Metroid Prime 4 Beyond? And here is what you said. Puppet Master X says, I'm just at the last part, collecting all items before Final Showdown. I have absolutely loved my time with this game. The Metacritic score absolutely baffles me. I didn't see what the Metacritic score was.
It was like 81.
I mean, that's, to me, that's pretty good. It's better than average.
It's good, but the original trilogy got over 90.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Like, Metroid Prime is 97, one of the highest rated ever. I think Corruption was 93. So it's a good score, but it's not up there with the rest of them. Mm-hmm. But you also shouldn't base your decision on whether to play a game on its Metacritic score. Play it for yourself. Come to your own conclusions.
Or ask me about it. I'll be like, super honest.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Simo says, thoughts on Prime 4. Overall, aggressively a 7 out of 10. I wish Psylux's Crusade and the Vyros Crisis were in separate games so they could each get the full focus they deserve. Okay, that's fair, honestly. Like, because it was two different things going on. So, I mean, that's a fair argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm behind that one.
Yeah. I mean, if it means extra lore, absolutely. Because it did, there were some things that did feel like a whole lot of information thrown in. And that's a lot to piece together. Doom Man says, I think the game overall is just okay, but I'd like to mention that if there's going to be a Prime 5, Ice Belt should be at least somewhat of a basis for the level design. That was the most fun part of the whole game for me. I really enjoyed the Ice Belt. That part was a lot of fun.
That was cool.
I liked it better than the volcano.
I think it was the highlight for most people, but I'm not one of them because I'm boring.
What was your highlight?
I really liked the first segment in Fury Green. I was first playing the game.
Fury Green? I also really liked Fury Green. It's just so pretty.
Volt Forge, for some reason, I like quite a lot. Even if it's just going down elevators and fighting some robots. The vibe is amazing in that section. Ice Belt is really good, though.
And the Tron Light Bite.
Having to pass your driving test.
That was so funny.
That was fun, honestly. I enjoyed it because it was just like, I felt like I was in Tron playing a light bike race, and it was great. It was also funny that I had to get a driver's license in Metroid. Like, okay, I've been piloting a spaceship, so sure, let me get this license to drive a motorcycle. Okay.
Darren really enjoyed Volt Forge. It reminded him a lot of the Sanctuary Fortress.
I could see it.
I can too. The music was very similar.
I really enjoyed the music in this one, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, MewTube HK says, easily the most addictive of the trilogy for me in terms of combat and gameplay. The psychic powers and elemental shots were really well implemented. At the same time, though, it felt like it prioritized action a bit too much and felt like a Halo campaign more often than not, which motivated me to finally start the Chief trilogy shortly after LOL.
Maybe that was the objective for the select few Halo developers. They just wanted us to play more Halo.
That's what the whole thing was. It's an advertisement for Halo.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they worked on Halo, you know, that might have been what they're most experienced with, so they carried it over to Metroid.
I mean, that makes sense.
Some fans may not like that I'm saying this, but Metroid is basically in some ways, well, Metroid Prime at least, is in some ways Nintendo's answer to Halo.
I mean, you're not wrong.
A lot of the original developers of Metroid Prime came over from Iguana, so Turok. Hey, I wonder if Takabi took a bit of inspiration from Turok, because its main character is indigenous.
I have Turok, but I've never actually played it.
I have one of the Turoks myself, which is in my considerable backlog.
I saw it at I never got it when it was new, but I saw it at a retro game store. I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick up Turok. So I have it for the N64. I just never actually played it. I don't know why, because I freaking love dinosaurs. So you would think I'd have played it like a million times.
Damn. Yeah, maybe you should play Turok.
Oh. All right. Final comment is Arginator. I really enjoy the game, but it did go through development hell, and it shows, unfortunately. I really wasn't a fan of the NPCs, and I hope their implementation in the future is a lot less heavy-handed. Respectfully disagree, but, you know.
To each their own.
That's okay. The desert was also a bit of a disappointment, but I didn't mind it that much, though I wouldn't want this concept to be attempted again. However, when it does what Metroid Prime does well, like art direction, atmosphere, and area design, it excels tremendously. Yes, it did.
Absolutely.
I truly believe that a sequel made without the baggage of a historically troubled developmental cycle could defy all expectations because Retro Studios has clearly demonstrated that they have what it takes. Nintendo just needs to let them cook. Okay, those are valid.
Yeah. On the subject of the desert, the same Famitsu interview says that that was inspired by the overworld in Breath of the Wild, Hyrule Field, I think it is.
I could definitely tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They heard from some fans that they wanted an open world Metroid, but that's not really compatible with the kind of game that Metroid is, which is isolated, cramped quarters. So the desert was like their happy medium, and they acknowledged that things have changed since then, but they didn't want to have to restart development again, so it stayed. But I think that since that's been one of the most criticized parts of Prime 4, if they do Prime 5, I don't think they'll have that again. Or they'll have it be much smaller and you don't spend as much time in it.
Or maybe it's in space.
Yeah.
You're traveling from planet to planet. I think it should be in space.
Yeah, like Corruption. If they wanted to go that way, I think that would be more popular. Go back to flying the ship, or even be able to fly the ship in some cases.
All right, so that is this episode's mailbag. For next episode, question is, where do you think the Metroid Prime series goes from here? Let us know. Okay, everybody, thank you so very much for listening. And Roy and Irene, thank you so very much for taking the time to let's all talk Metroid together.
Always fun.
All right, I'll see you next mission.
See you next mission.
See you next mission.
What do you guys think about the new characters as well as returning and all that?
Who's Samus? Never heard of her.
That's that guy that wears the armor but can't crawl.
Ah.
He's a bit familiar to me.
I think I've played him in Smash.
Do that again with Prime 4. Have
Prime 4.
A conversation. Hush. Do that again with Prime 5, a good friend and the body double of Rob Gronkowski.
And who is that?
Football player.
Oh, sorry. I don't know my football.
Is it soccer or is it like the American kind of football?
American football.
Oh, okay.
He has a podcast with Tom Brady and everything.
Oh, that's cool. Well, now I'm going to have to look into football.
Maybe that's where we see the Silux lore.
Remake. the manga and localize it, actually officially localize it.
Should be a movie.
They could also do a movie.
It would be perfect.
They could do a movie and they could cast me.
Yeah.
They could.
Support that. They should.
They cast unknowns for Zelda, so.
Exactly.
And who's Amanda?
Exactly. No one knows who I am. I'm just the resident DEI hire here, right?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, going there.
We asked you guys, what do you think of Metroid Prime 4 Beyond? And here is what you said. Let's see. This person doesn't like Miles, so they're not getting their comment read. Let's see. I don't know why, because I freaking love dinosaurs, so you would think I'd have played it like a million times.
Damn. Yeah, maybe you should play Turok.
Oh.
If this episode gets 500 likes on Twitter, Amanda will do a stream of Turok on our Twitch channel.
Actually, yes.
In hard mode, if that exists.
Oh, no, don't put out the hard mode part. Oh, okay, 1,000 for hard mode, thank you. 500 to play it, 1,000 for hard mode. And yes, I will take you guys up on that.
There you go.
The desert was also a bit... I cannot see today. The desert was also a bit of a being apart and taking... Well, first of all, thank every... I can't talk today. I'm sorry. I'm failing at everything. All right.
The Shine Sparkers podcast is edited by Stefan Wells with music from Maserati. If you enjoyed what you heard, we hope you'll consider following us on our social media pages. We're on Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. For the latest Metroid news, interviews, community features, and other exclusive content, visit our website at shinesparkers.net. See you next mission.